Radio Reverb. Brighton Festival 2018. Now. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2018 with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. On Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Melita Dennett. This is Wednesday's Brighton Festival special. We're here Monday to Friday during the festival, 5 to 6pm, repeat to 10pm and 9am the next day.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll be looking behind the scenes at the Brighton Festival, meeting some of the performers, creators and people who make it happen. Today, we're hearing about a coming-of-age show set against the backdrop of an Irish dancing championship.
We'll be visiting a show where science and music collide.
And meeting a folk band with a dark side. That's all along with reviews, previews, here in the next hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. And you know what, yet again, we have got so much in this show, Melita. There is no time for chatter. No,
it's always time. Packed. It's jammy packed with festival goodness, taking you behind the scenes. So I know for a fact, because people have told me that because of things that they've heard on this programme, interviews with performers, artists, that kind of thing, they've actually gone to see festival shows. So we know it works.
It does what it says on the label. It's about the festival. And today we've got a bit of an Irish theme running through. The first Irish piece, The Humours of Bandon. Now, this is a coming-of-age story set to the backdrop of an Irish dancing championship. It opens tonight through to Sunday at the Brighthelm Centre. And Radio Reverb's Ant Martin met up with the writer and performer, Margaret McAuliffe.
You know the only difference between Rita Noonan and yourself? I don't know. It's not that. I know you don't. And I'll tell you. She walks out on that stage like a champion. Like she's already won it.
My name is Morgan McAuliffe and I'm doing a one-woman show called The Humours of Bandon. This show is a comedy. It's a coming-of-age story about a young Irish dancer and it charts her trials and tribulations over the course of 3 years together with her mother and her teacher. Yeah, and other characters, but like they're more secondary.
Now, this is a play you wrote yourself. What kind of made you write this play? Because it was your first play as well you wrote.
It was, yeah. Well, it was my first full-length play. I wrote a 20-minute play for Seen and Heard Festival in Dublin back in 2013. What made me write this particular play was that I felt like there was a gap in the market. I had done competitive Irish dancing for 18 years and then I went and studied acting. So I was surprised that no one had ever tackled this topic before. I think it's rich in pageantry and ritual, and you have so many common stock characters. You know, I've had people coming out of my show thinking that they wouldn't identify with anything in it because it's so specific to Irish dancing. But they said, oh my God, like that's just like my cross-country running, or you're the spit of my piano teacher, or whatever. The strangest one actually was a girl who came up to me who told me that it was just like winning the All-Ireland Junior Paramedic Championships.
There is such a thing?
There is such a thing. She out-niched me.
Like I recall from the competitive side of Irish dancing, because obviously there's the kind of the river dance, the performance kind of side of things, but the competitive side, there's a lot to it because people have to kind of dress up, they've got to get their hair done, the makeup on. How much enjoyment did you get from that?
Well, it's funny. I retired in 2006. And when I did retire, I was still curling my hair with bendies. And now you wouldn't have a championship where people didn't have a wig on. So they all have wigs. And the makeup and the pageantry of Irish dancing has really come, I think, from popular trends. So if you go to the Electric Picnic Music Festival, the fashion that you'll see the 18-year-olds in these days is not what it was 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, you wouldn't have had the like short shorts and the fake tan and the eyelashes and the hair extensions because they weren't available. So Irish dancing has really reflected back the kind of culture that surrounds young fashion nowadays, which is more is more. So yeah, you will have lots of makeup and stuff like that on, but we never, I mean, we did, fake tan had started to come in. So I do remember having tangerine orange legs, nearly the colour of my orange hair, and big white face, patchy from all the crying. But yeah, no, it hadn't quite come to that extent yet, in terms of like all the makeup and the doolally.
So you're just back from Vancouver, where you played the show, and you were at Edinburgh Fringe last year as well. How does the show, and I suppose the subject of Irish dancing, translate to kind of foreign audiences?
Yeah, that was something I was quite concerned about before going away. I was in Victoria there. We just did 3 shows, Friday, Saturday, Sunday last week. Or Thursday, Friday, Saturday. God, I don't know where I am at. And I was worried, all right, that they wouldn't understand the vernacular. I had a glossary in the programme before they went in, and surprisingly, it went down a storm. Like they laughed, and they laughed hard and readily, and more so than they did in Edinburgh. Actually, there was a little bit of a more reserved audience at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And I don't know what that was. Why that was, I think maybe they see 3,000 shows in Edinburgh, so you have to really impress them for them to get up on their feet or whatever. Now, I did get a lovely warm response by the end, but they definitely took a while to warm up. Whereas in Victoria, on Vancouver Island, I think they were just so delighted to have somebody from Dublin. It was the first time somebody had performed at that festival from Ireland. And for all of the would-be Irish over there, they were delighted to hear the accent and to the kind of idiosyncrasies of life in Ireland, to see it reflected so fresh and so, you know, like right in front of them.
That's writer and performer Margaret McAuliffe talking to Reverb's own Ant Martin about the humours of Bandon, and that opens tonight through to Sunday at the Bright Helm Centre. And you can hear Ant with his What's the Crack Irish show on Mondays at 6 p.m.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is Radio Reverb's dedicated Brighton Festival programme with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals, taking you behind the scenes at the Brighton Festival. In a few minutes' time, I'm going to be talking about some of the things that we've been seeing over the course of the festival, and we have loads more festival goodness, lots more things coming up to enjoy in the Brighton Festival. Also looking forward to the Great Escape coming up this weekend. It's all kicking off kind of tonight, tomorrow lunchtime, and here is one of the acts that's playing coming up on Thursday at the Arch in the Great Escape. This is Puma Blue and Only Trying to Tell You. Chilled out sounds there from the Great Escape. That's Puma Blue, Only Trying to Tell You, playing 10:15 Thursday at the Arch in the Great Escape Festival.
Rather nice, that.
It's very chilled. I'm feeling very relaxed now, which is not a state I'm accustomed to being in.
I know you were rocking there. I thought we might lose
you. I was nodding. I was nodding.
Nice. Very nice. Are we going to have a look at what we've been up to then?
Yes,
today?
Let's.
What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've been putting this programme together and seeing who's on at the Great Escape and sorting out interviews for the rest of the festival for this show. That's been my day,
well,
basically.
Fortunately, one of us was at liberty to be going to see a couple of bits and bobs. I had my nephew, Tim Martin, with us.
Hang on a minute. You already brought your mum in, who went to see Rear View with you. Now you're bringing your nephew in. Is this the Rebecca Sandals family show or something?
It's the family business. That's a family business, yeah.
Pushy aunt, pushy daughter, I see.
Keeping it in the family. Yeah. No, it's I don't have any friends, so I have to kind of bring my family along to go out and see things with me. So anyway, I thought it was high time that Tim went to Brighton Art Gallery. And we also, that was to see Gilbert and George. And we also went and saw Life Model 2 at Fabrica.
Great, so you've done the rounds. Well, Tim, welcome to Radio.
Hello.
Thank you very much for coming along with
us. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So we were talking about Gilbert and George yesterday at the museum. We were talking about Life Model last week. I guess let's start with Life Model, as David Shrigley is the festival's director. This is his giant plastic, shiny, naked, pink female model at Fabrica. What did you make of it?
Well, I thought she was quite fabulous, actually. I mean, a body to be envious of course. But not so sure about the hair. But
slightly out of proportion as well.
Oh, yeah, possibly. I mean, who wouldn't love those eyes? But no, I thought it was great. I thought the atmosphere was nice. There was a lot of people really getting stuck into it. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was nice.
When I went, I really liked the responses of the people who were drawing it. And they'd done speech bubbles coming out of her mouth, giving her hairy legs and that kind of thing. Were people doing those sort of responses?
There was quite a few like sort of like Shrigley-esque comments on the side of their drawings and stuff like that. And I put one, it said... spiting God for these fabulous curves or something like that. And yeah, I quite liked it. It was good.
And did you do your own picture?
I did. I did indeed. I sort of tried to keep it as sort of within the parameters of Shrigley as I could, using just a Sharpie for it. But yeah, I think it went pretty well.
Great. And you're a fan of David Shrigley anyway.
I am. I've not been keeping up with him too much recently, but back when I was starting out studying in graphics and photography, I was very into his sort of like humour and sort of unfunniness of him and sort of the satirical sort of qualities of his works. And yeah, I thought it was, yeah, I enjoy him.
So Rebecca, what was your offering like? Because we did actually see your artwork when you did some life drawing last week, which
you were going to ask.
Frankly appalling.
Fabulous.
Well, okay, I think I've sent you a picture of what I did.
Can you tweet it, please?
All right, I will tweet it in a bit.
And shame yourself publicly to the world.
Shall we say that Tim's piece did look like the model's bottom, because we were doing the derriere of the life model. Mine, I made up for the lack of composition
talent
okay, by adding a lot of crayon in colour and the word BUM. So, you know, we had fun, though. And that's the point, I think, of that piece. You go in there and there was so many pictures up there. They're obviously having to rotate regularly. And I fear that if you were going to see our pieces, they have gone from the wall already, because so many people have probably come through and done pieces. And while we were in there, Tim, we noticed there was a couple of obviously people who are pretty good at fine art and life drawing.
Yeah, rather talented people.
Yeah. yes. But we had a great time, and it was really nice to sort of share that and look at the other images and what was going on there at Life Model. So it's great.
I was very impressed when I went to see a whole range of ages. So grandparents and grandkids, real mix of ages there.
Families, Melita. Yeah. Families.
Oh, that's
together.
What they are, is it?
Okay. Yeah. like myself and my nephew are here.
Okay. Well, talking of derrieres, you've also been to see Gilbert and George then at Brighton Museum. What was the verdict?
You know, I really liked it. I've not actually seen very much of Gilbert and George before today, so it was really nice to sort of open my eyes to that world and have a look. I wasn't sure what to expect, but again, I thought the sort of the humour of it was quite similar to David Shrigley's in a way, sort of unfunniness of like, what was it, Gordon's Makes Us Drunk, you know, the video of them just sipping Gordon's gin for a good 9 minutes and getting drunk.
I think that was from about 1972 or so, at that particular one.
It's a very early one,
yeah.
Isn't it? In the first room.
And so they're just both in their suits, sitting silhouetted with a window and drinking from a glass. And every now and again, Gordon's Makes Us Drunk. And then after about 3 minutes of this, Gordon's Makes Us Very Drunk. And Tim and I were somewhat mesmerised by that and felt like going home and trying WKD Makes Us Drunk as the updated version, maybe. We'll give it a go.
2018.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those images are... They're still fairly confrontational, you know, despite coming from the 80s and the 90s. How did you find them when you went in there? Were you kind of like, crikey, I don't expect to see this kind of thing in a museum?
Yeah, you know what? There was still that sort of shock factor from now on. I like the idea that they have this aim to... pursue shock even in modern times, and I don't know if they're still sort of producing works like that, but
they're still pretty confrontational.
Yeah, of course. I can imagine. I don't think that sort of fire dwindles very quickly. But yeah, it was great. I sort of like the aspect of them with all their frames and stuff like that. I found myself looking at them and sort of deciding which piece, if I had in my home, which certain frame I would want to take, you know, because they're all outlined in separate photos. Yeah, it was really good.
I haven't got enough pocket money for that, Tim.
No, I'm afraid.
So Life Model at Fabrica runs through till the end of May, to the end of the festival, and Gilbert and George at Brighton Museum runs through until September the 2nd. So thank you very much, Tim, for coming in to do that. We might drag you in on another occasion if you've been to something else.
Yeah, no, do. I'll come in maybe as my drag persona next time. Who knows?
Okay, don't push it.
Plug myself a bit.
The Brighton Festival 2018. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
Okay, we've muffled my nephew and turned his microphone off now, unless with the self-promotion. Apologies for that. From tonight at the Spire in Kemp Town, you can see Transformer. Scottish visual artist Robbie Thompson harnesses the power of the Tesla coil. That's the 19th century invention that first allowed us to see electricity dance. Earlier today, I went along to the Spire to find out more about this light and sound show.
My name is Robbie Thompson. I'm a visual and sound artist. I'm from Glasgow, and I'm down in Brighton Festival with my show called Transformer, which is spelled XFRMR, just to make it confusing for everybody. It's a show that's using a Tesla coil to make music, and making music with sparks and electricity and high voltages throwing around.
You offered to stop the sort of throbbing noise we had, but I quite enjoy that sound. Is that the Tesla just buzzing over?
No, these are the sounds that you probably hear when you walk into the show. So as well as the coil on stage, there's actually like a lot of synths and samples coming from a laptop as well that build the whole sound together. So it's a mixture of live sound coming from the Tesla coil itself and then some other electronic stuff that I've been working on and composing together.
So you got to the space a short time ago, a couple of hours ago now. How are you finding it here at the Spire?
Yeah, it's great. It's been super nice to come down. It's been a long time since I've been in Brighton, maybe like 10 years ago or something like that. So lovely to come down, and amazing crew at the Spire. It's sunny as well, so can't complain, you know.
You've got the cage there with the machine in the middle. Tell me a bit about what the audience can expect to see.
For people that maybe don't know what a Tesla coil is, a Tesla coil is a kind of electrical transformer that takes low voltages in and then makes a really high voltage that kind of quarter of a million volts come out the top, and they make big sparks of electricity that obviously make sound as well as the lights. So that's the centerpiece for the show. That's hooked up to my computer and some music software that I use to control the frequency that the coil outputs, so you can make different tones with it. Some of them are really harsh industrial tones, other percussive or melodic, depending what I'm sending it. But it's all kind of filtered through this really electrical timbre that gives the Tesla coil its character, really. The show goes through a few different phases. Some parts of it are very harsh, industrial, quite intense. Other parts are much more melodic, and there's actually kind of, yeah, some bits where it's actually even possible to make this Tesla coil actually sound quite pretty, which is, not always the easiest thing to do with high voltage.
How difficult is it to get the sounds that you are aspiring to get?
It's a lot of trial and error, to be honest. So I have to sit in my studio, usually with my headphones on, because there's not really a volume control on the Tesla coil. It's a pretty loud instrument.
Yeah, do you have neighbours?
I'm in the middle of an industrial estate in Glasgow, so it's kind of all right, yeah. But yeah, so it's a lot of trial and error. The way that you send the audio to the coil, sometimes it will come out in ways that are really quite unexpected. So there's a lot of happy accidents that I've found, and different tones that I've come across that have then recorded and made sure I can reproduce them to put them back into the show. My background is mainly in visual art and theatre, but like I make techno and different electronic music as well, so it's kind of a bit of a fusion of my visual work and also my sound work in the show.
So when was your light bulb moment that you went, I know, I'm going to put a Tesla machine in a cage and make sounds?
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's an exact moment, but I think, yeah, I've definitely seen Tesla coils and seen high voltage effects in various science centres or in online and stuff like this. And I kind of then figured out that I knew that it was possible to make it musical in some way or another, and started researching and going into how to actually build it. And then at some point figured out that actually like I needed to get some help, because it's pretty hardcore kind of technically to build it.
How dangerous is the kit you've got?
It's kind of up for... I definitely wouldn't like to touch it. It's very high voltage, but it's very low current, so the chance of it actually being able to be lethal is small. It's also inside a Faraday cage, which actually mitigates like all the risks that are in it anyway. So my Faraday cage is a big steel cage that acts as an earth. So even if the coil is making a massive spark, it's not going to go outside of the cage, and that's where it goes to ground, which keeps all the health and safety people happy generally when I'm doing a gig with it.
What do you expect from the audience? Is it sort of hushed shock and awe, or what normally tends to happen with an audience?
I've performed this in lots of different types of spaces. So I've performed it in clubs, I've performed it in sit-down theatres, and I've performed it like what tonight will be as a sort of stand-up gig. So there's definitely points that are a lot more experimental, that are maybe a bit more sitting and listening quite intently, and then there's other parts of it which are actually really rhythmic, and you know, when I'm doing it in a club, for example, people are actually dancing to it as well. So it's something that's got quite a lot of different phases and different movements that go throughout the piece, and so maybe there's something for everybody.
So it must be one of the fun things for you, seeing what do the audience react to, how are they going to get up and dance, or are they going to stay and contemplate, or all of the above?
Yeah, that's it. Well, I guess there's a lot to look at on stage as well, you know, so it's actually, yeah, it's quite a bit to take in. There's also projection mapping that's on the cage as well, and I work with the light designer Alice Black, who's done an amazing job in the church, and it's yeah, it's a really beautiful space to be in as well. So it should be a great venue for the show.
Great, Robbie, thanks very much, because I know I've interrupted you and you're sort of setting up and rehearsing and getting it all ready. So thank you very much, and I hope the show's a great success. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm loving that hum. I'm sort of semi hypnotised here by it, but I'll let you go now. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks very much.
That hum is so hypnotising, isn't it?
I like it.
Yeah, but apparently that's just the machinery warming up, ticking over. So that was Robbie Thompson talking to me earlier about his piece Transformer, and that runs from Wednesday to Sunday at the Spire. Performances at 7:30 and 9:30 p.m.
And I'm glad you cleared up, actually, it's Transformer, not Exformer, because it's Exformer in the programme. And everyone was like, kind of like, is it Transformer or is it Exformer? So thank you very much for clarifying
but
that.
But I think it's worth saying again to people, if you're looking through the programme, it is the one that's called XFRMR.
Yeah.
And that is, he says, Transformer. And
yeah,
it obviously makes it an easy sell to people to understand what they're going to see. But XFMR is how it's spelt. But you say, of course you say, Transformer.
Yes, good. Well, I'm going to go and see it on Friday. You're going tonight?
I am going tonight. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it.
I really like it, that hypnotic kind of sound. I've actually been to the Tesla Museum in Belgrade, actually, in Serbia. Passing through Serbia, thought I'd pop into the Tesla Museum.
So, as you do.
More of that. So I'm looking forward to seeing Transformer there. Listen to Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Festival show on Wednesday. And continuing our look forward to the Great Escape this weekend, some of the local acts that are coming up. This is Dog in the Snow. She's playing on Saturday afternoon, and the track is called Child. Appearing Saturday, 4 p.m. at St Mary's Church in the Alternative Escape. That's Brighton's Dog in the Snow, and the track's called Child. You listen to Radio Reverb, Brighton Festival's special show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals.
Now, we did say earlier there was a touch of Irish going through the show today, and the award-winning Irish four-piece Lancome bring their own band of folk with a dark edge to the Brighton Festival, mixing in elements of music hall, drone and Americana. We seem to be liking a bit of drone on today's show as well. They're playing at St George's Church on Friday. Mark Johnson from Slipstream spoke with Lancome's Ian Lynch on the phone in Dublin.
Oh, Sally, my dear, it's you I'd be kissing. Oh, Sally, my dear, it's you I'd be kissing. She smiled and replied, you don't know what you're missing.
I'm absolutely delighted to introduce to you Ian Lynch from the band Lancome. They're going to be playing at the St George's Church here in Brighton on the 18th of May. Welcome, Ian. How are you?
Well, hello. Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for having me on. I'm very good. Fine morning here in Dublin, so...
Yeah, the fair
good.
City.
Good weather, finally. Yeah. Sometimes fair city, yeah.
Yeah, you're just getting ready to start the tour, and you're looking forward to coming to Brighton?
Very much looking forward to coming to Brighton, yeah, absolutely. There's been people down there that we've known for a number of years, and they're always on at us to get down there, and we haven't made it. So it's finally get down.
You've chosen a good weekend, because it's the Great Escape weekend. Loads of bands in town, and it's going to be a great vibe, so...
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Mm. Yeah, I can't wait.
I read that you worked at the Irish Traditional Music Archive.
I did, yeah. I worked a while, and I was working in the folklore department at the university here in Dublin as well. So I do have a background in folklore studies.
And that was a good time. So that's really where you started to meet other members of, I think in those days you were called Lynched.
We were called Lynched, yeah. And while I was working in the Traditional Music Archive there, they had a studio in the basement. Me and my brother, we'd been working together as Lynch Stage about 10 years, and we were kind of getting our heads towards getting a new album together. Yeah, around the time we asked Cormac and Rady to join us on a few songs, and we'd known Cormac and Rady from just playing around informal sessions in pubs around Dublin for a number of years before that. After, yeah, we got them into the studio to play on one or two songs, and it just worked so well and we clicked so well together. We asked them permanent members of the band, and we haven't looked back since. Yeah, it's been going great ever since then.
And you changed that name because it was felt that, you know, it's probably a bit, the word Lynched, a bit aggressive.
You know, we wouldn't have the kind of racial connotations over here when you use the word, but it seems like in every other country. So, you know, we had to take that into account. Yeah, we decided it wasn't really a desirable moniker to be going under any longer. Yeah. The name to Lancome.
Slightly controversial as well, because Lancome, traditional song, I believe, about a child murderer. Is that right?
Yeah, it's all about a fella called False Lancome, and he comes to the castle of the Lords. The Lord is down in London. He comes along and he murders the lady of the castle and he murders the baby. But in some versions of the song, you find out it's all because he was the one, he was actually the mason who built the castle in the first place.
Right.
And he was never paid for his work. Yeah, it has this kind of element of working class revenge. That was the reason behind choosing that name.
If the young men could sing like blackbirds and thrushes, if the young men could sing like blackbirds and thrushes, how many young girls would go beating the bushes?
So, Lancome, you've been sort of described as psychedelic folk punks, if you like. Do you recognise that description, or...? These bloody labels, you know.
psychedelic folk. I haven't heard the psychedelic description so much, but we do have, I suppose, we'd have a strong element of kind of drone-based music, you know. So maybe that would bring kind of psychedelic edge to the music, I could add, yeah.
Yeah, that drone-based sound does really lend itself to that kind of, you know, folky feel, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it works. I mean, I suppose it just comes from our musical tastes outside the traditional world. I'd be very heavy into darker music, you know. I'd be really into metal and darker ambient-based stuff like Sun and Earth, and even any kind of music with a kind of an ambient or meditative quality, I'm kind of drawn towards, you know. I went to see Grouper playing there last week and I thought that was absolutely amazing. She's another artist that would use a lot of drone based sounds, although hers were more maybe electronically based than ours, but we're really drawn towards that side of things, you know.
Yeah, excellent. How do you go about picking these tracks? You've got a track on your album, Willow Garden, that's a murder ballad, if I'm correct. Pete Bog Soldiers, written about the opponents to the Third Reich. You know, how do you go about selecting tracks?
We would spend a lot of time here in Ireland, and we spend a lot of time going to singing sessions and spending time with older singers around the country, you know. So still a very thriving traditional singing scene here.
Yeah.
In Ireland, you know, we go to various singing festivals around the country and different sessions that are going on. So a lot of the songs actually on our latest album, they were, you know, we would have heard them for us just from singers in sessions like that. You know, we come across in a variety of different ways. You might find an old recording, or you might find even a song in a book and then put your own air to it. But I suppose it's songs that we all kind of agree on.
The album that's out at the moment, Between the Earth and Sky, has been very, very well received, of course. And you're on tour, quite a long tour of the UK and Ireland and Europe, Canada even. Well, thanks very much, Ian. Ian Lynch from Lancome, thanks very much for joining us here at Radio Reverb.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, And we're looking forward to the gig now.
Yeah, you can catch Lancome at the St George's Church on Friday the 18th of May, and the sound in there, Ian, is fabulous, so it's going to lend itself.
Oh, brilliant.
Perfectly
tuned. Yeah, I love playing in churches, actually.
Great, and they even sell beers in there, so it's well worth going along.
Like best of them, Brilliant.
My kind of church.
Yeah.
Bye.
Cheers, bye.
But the young men are given to frisking and fooling. But the young men are given to frisking and fooling. So I leave them alone and attend to my schooling.
And that was Lancome's Ian Lynch talking, in fact, laughing over a beer in a church to Radio Reverb's Mark Johnson from the Slipstream.
That's a totally different show. You just invented a new show.
Slipstream. And you can see Lancome at St George's Church on Friday.
They have beer in a church, you know.
Beer?
Beer in a church.
Who knew? This Brighton town has very, very strange
ways. It's an abomination in the sight of the Lord.
And you can hear Mark with his selection. I'm trying to read a script here, which then doesn't make any sense when we go off-piste.
Sorry.
Somewhat dangerously in new snow.
I'll stay on the piste.
Talking of piste, there's Irish band Lancome in a church, and you can get beer there. Anyway, you can hear Mark Johnson with his show Slipstream and a selection of global sounds every Saturday here on Reverb at 11 in the morning.
We managed to get through that all right, didn't we? Well done. You listen to Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Festival Show, and again, a glimpse into what's happening at the Great Escape this weekend. I really love this performer. Go and catch her if you can. Her name's Annabel Allam. New single from her, it's called Emily. Playing on Saturday at the Great Escape, 3:30 on Saturday at Sticky Mike's. That's Annabel Allam. New single from her, that's Emily. This is the Radio Reverb Brighton Festival special show. We're live 5 till 6 throughout the course of the festival, then repeated 10 o'clock the same night, 9 a.m. the next day. And very pleased to announce that we have a special guest with us, the Crumble Lady herself, the star of Britain's Got Talent. She's a star in Sainsbury's today. They asked for her autograph. This is Lorraine Bowen. Lorraine, welcome to Radio Reverb.
Hello, Radio Reverb listeners all across the world.
She's off. Lorraine has been to see a tractor at the Dome last night. That's not as in what you plough a field with, but as in attraction, which is a really high-energy dance piece. What did you make of it?
I thought it was absolutely brilliant, and everything in it was brilliant. Now, reasons to go. The Toven throat singing musicians, well, they carry the performance playing highly emotive drone music. Now, if you don't know what Toven throat singing is, of course, it's kind of singing that digs right into the throat and produces vibrational harmony, burpy noises in a kind of singing fashion like this.
Uh-oh.
I'm nearly there.
Yeah, that was not a didgeridoo in the studio.
No, that was Lorraine Bowen.
They're actually Indonesian rather than Mongolian.
Well, they suggested the Toven range to me. Now, there's also a string player in it who literally bashes this electric guitar like a drum. And in one section, he swaps the electric guitar for a flute and gets carried upside down while still playing. I just couldn't believe it. And other people were just gasping around me. So that's the music. And of course, it's billed as a dance piece.
I was raving about it on Facebook today because they're called Senyawa. So they're an Indonesian kind of death metal stroke experimental duo, and saying, like, even if you don't think you like dance, go for the music, because Senyawa, yes, absolutely stunning.
It's absolutely brilliant. So on the dance side, there's these sinewy, I suppose sinewy, because I've never seen sinews. I've never seen bones being kind of angled like these people. But they shake themselves, and you think it's all really raw and improvised, but suddenly you see they're actually beginning to synchronise this crazy St. Vitus dance. It's like a kind of David Byrne video put into high art. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
It's one of those where I was there as well last night, and I had no idea really what to expect from that particular piece. And it starts with, and I think my nephew Tim, who was with us earlier and is still sitting quietly beside me here,
for a change,
described it as he felt like it looked like a bunch of people going on their gap year at the start. And he was slightly worried about where it was going to go and if it was going to be people going, oh, yeah, this is great, yeah, yeah. But in fact, they begin moving slowly, and then the whole thing, you say, becomes like, another friend of mine was there, said it's like amoeba, the movement is suddenly you realise they're sort of moving together.
Yeah.
As one being, and then it separates into different beings and they seem to be sort of struggling for life, and all with this kind of
Don't you start as well. I'm surrounded by them.
The thing is, after the show, we were all just doing bits of the show. We were like school children that were being kind of naughty and just... Because I wanted to just shake myself and shake my head, and I wondered why I'd actually missed out on being part of the performance, because there's people from Brighton that have actually signed up for this show. And they were shaking things and joining in on the stage.
See, I love that. When they got up from the auditorium and it's like, oh, what's this bloke doing getting up and going up on the stage? And people from the auditorium just randomly during the obviously the set sequence where the public could join in just climbed up on the stage, joined in with the motion. I was really impressed with them. They all seemed to know what they were doing.
It was semi-rehearsed. I think they had done rehearsal for it. And so, but as an audience member sitting there, you suddenly think, why are these people getting up and going up? And I was being nudged by my mates to sort of get up there, Rebecca. And I was thinking, there's no way I'm going up there. It's like, no, this is scary.
No, because they'd done rehearsals, you know. Yeah, they had done rehearsals.
And also it was very physical. I mean, that's the thing, that performance was amazingly physical. And you were saying, you know, you wanted to do what they were doing and we were doing it. I'm not double jointed. I don't know if either of you are double jointed, but certainly some of those performers, there were joints moving in ways that, well,
sinewy. They were sinewy, you see.
Double jointed, yeah.
And I just thought that whole dancing when they were moving so fast in a trance-like state.
Yes,
it was incredible to watch. I thought it was quite unsettling to watch.
Very unsettling, wasn't it?
Yeah,
in a good way.
Who knows what it all meant, but, you know, who cares? Who cares? Use it or lose it, I say. Go to as many festival events or whatever festival, you know, just get there and go, because this was mind-blowing.
Well, it's on again tonight, so that's a tractor. That's Lucy Gurin and I think it's Dance North collaboration with Senyawa on the vocal and instrumental duties. You know, stunning Indonesian duo. It's a very, very dark piece, really powerful. Tonight at the Dome, I think you'll still get some tickets available, so they'll have £10 festival standbys for that. I think it's unmissable, to be honest.
Well, we say this about a lot of stuff, that it's really great, but the truth is, all of us, and there were six of us around a table last night who walked over to the Wagon, made a real effort to find a pub, struggled across the road. And we just could not stop saying, wow, did that bit, wow, that, we loved it. And it just stays with you. And the image of the movement of those dancers was... just get there.
Incredible.
If you can tonight, do go along.
Yep. Last night at the Dome tonight. Lorraine, you've been to see something altogether more restful.
Yes, I went to a church in the lunchtime. I've never done that before in my life. And it was St Nicholas's Church, and I went to see some French women play Baroque music. I don't even know what they were called. Please fill me in.
I can fill you in, because we had them on the show last night. They're called Les Capsper Girls. I didn't get a chance to see it, but they were gorgeous when they were on the show yesterday. I'm going to play you a teensy-weensy bit, a little taster of that from the show yesterday. So that's Les Capsper Girls, and they're on at St Nicholas's Church, one of the lunchtime concerts in the festival, which is a great chance to see relatively unknown people and the musical stars of the future.
Yes, it was absolutely stunning. I'd gone there with my shopping trolley. I was just about to go to Sainsbury's afterwards. Thought I'd stop in for a Baroque concert on the way. And wow, what can I say? They were just perfection. I have studied quite a lot of Baroque music, and I would say they were the peak of their career. They knew all their stuff. There was one playing incredibly original lutes, one playing strummy guitar, two beautiful singers that just sound as if they were sisters born in the same womb, because they just had the same voices. They were just absolutely lovely. And I must admit, probably the biggest a tribulation, I had tears running down my cheeks.
Wow.
What can I say? It was so beautiful.
Wow.
It was so beautiful.
You weren't expecting to be either, I don't think, were you? You were slightly thinking, not sure how this is going to be.
Yeah, because I was having a shopping trolley. I was going to Sainsbury's.
You might have nipped out after a couple of tracks and numbers wouldn't.
I just didn't know what to expect.
Well, I thought they were stunning when they came in yesterday. One of the things they did as well, which, you know, it was fine for us because we're actually here with them, didn't quite work on radio, but the two young women who were singing were actually kind of sparring with each other physically. They were playing off of each other. Was there a sense that it was a very physical performance as well?
Yes, and they had lovely little tiny novelties, which were so beautifully done. So, yes, they didn't go over the top with them, but they had little bird noises with them. Oh. So, and then they did a kind of duet of bird kind of things. other and they leant towards each other. And it was just lovely. It was really lovely.
Well, that's Lake Capsper Girls, St Nicholas's Church, one of the lunchtime concerts. Do check out the lunchtime concerts in the festival programme because there's some cracking good stuff there. And Attractor at the Dome, second and final night tonight, which I say go. Lorraine, while we've got you, you've got a show coming up.
I've got a show. It's a departure from my normal adult cabarets. It's at the Marlborough Theatre and it's for 6 to 11-year-olds. Can you imagine? It's called Be Original, and it's a fun and entertaining show for budding young songwriters and musicians. So if you are learning to play the ukulele and you're at school, then this is for you. And it's on during the half-term week, the 31st of May to the 3rd of June at 2:30 p.m. every day. And that's not 2:30 at night like I normally do. It's 2:30 in the day.
What about if your kid isn't learning the ukulele at school, but you want to get rid of them for an hour in half-term?
Take them to my show.
Lorraine will look after them. She'll take care of them. Well, Lorraine Bone, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb. And I'm glad you enjoyed your shows. And
I really did.
Good. And let us continue. We've got our last 10 minutes or so of the programme because British German arts collective Gob Squad, they performed all over the world for 25 years and they're having their UK premiere and Brighton Festival co-commission. It's called Creation. Pictures for Dorian, and it's inspired by Oscar Wilde's Dorian Gray, who remains eternally youthful but has a decaying portrait tucked away in the attic. Let's hear more from Gob Squad's creators.
Nature is just a pose. But the most irritable pose I know.
We are Gob Squad. And we are a half German and half English collective. And for creation, we are going to be artists of a beautiful piece of work.
The work is inspired by the novel A Picture of Dorian Gray.
The idea is that we arrive in wherever we're going to do the show. And we're looking for three people from a generation older than us and three people from a generation younger than us. So we can really lift the lid on this whole thing about aging, beauty, mortality and morality from different perspectives. So we're looking for people who, like us, spend a life on stage or who want to spend a life on stage so we can connect to them and, find out what it's like, what it means to be visible, invisible, looked at and regarded as an object of beauty.
The thing about beauty is that if you have beauty, then you want to hold on to it. It's a kind of a power and it's a kind of a currency. It's a type of value. And like all things that have value, there's maybe a tendency to not want to let go of it and to kind of preserve it for as long as you can, which of course runs perhaps contrary to beauty, which by its definition, like a flower, is something that eventually wilts and fades.
And Gob Squad's creation, Pictures for Dorian, in bracket, runs at the Attenborough Centre for the Creative Arts from next Wednesday, the 23rd, through to Saturday, 26th of May. We're going to be hearing more from Gob Squad next week.
There is so much still going on at the festival. I mean, let's just touch on a reminder of the things that are happening tonight, Wednesday, and onwards next couple of days. We've got Fauna opening tonight at the Theatre Royal. That's the dance circus
acrobatic
company, Swedish company, but multinationality that we spoke to yesterday on the programme.
It's
animalistic, sensual movement.
Creating animals from their bodies, and they're kind of the idea of the crossover between animal and human nature. So that one sounds terrific. So that is opening tonight. That's 7:30 at the Theatre Royal, runs through to Saturday. Last performance Saturday is a matinee, so don't get caught out by that one.
We've got Transformer, which we've mentioned, that's or XFRMR at the Spire. That's the Robbie and his Tesla machine making music and light dance at the Tesla Wednesday through Sunday.
That's one that's at the Spire. And second night of Attractor tonight. And as we've already heard, the first night of Humours of Bandon. That's the Irish dancing competition show, a coming-of-age story. And that runs through from tonight to Sunday at the Bright Helm Centre. And coming up tomorrow night, Zaloris White. We'll be playing a track from them tomorrow. We are a fantastic duo, kind of crossing over psychedelia, Middle Eastern music. A bit more drone. They're going to be on at St George's Church tomorrow. Last time I saw Zaloris White in Brighton, they were at the Hope and Ruin. So from tiny, tiny venue to a large, large venue. Blas from the Netherlands. Not sure what to expect of that one. Going to be having a chat with them on Friday for the programme. They've got an event runs from Thursday through to Saturday up at Moorscombe Leisure Centre, which, look in the programme, it's kind of visuals, performance. Not entirely sure where that one is going to go. It says it's weird and wonderful ballet. We'll find out on Friday.
Yeah, I was looking at that and thinking, it playing the boundaries of physical space, visual theatre. And what I love about it, actually, and also is difficult because you go, oh, my God, I was going to have to go to Moorscombe Leisure Centre, is the fact that it isn't.
Moorscombe Leather Centre, that sounds good.
Really? I don't know the errors that I make, the words that come out of my mouth.
Your Freudian slip is
slightly revealing, yeah. So once I finished at the Leather Centre, I may make my way to the Leisure Centre at Moorscombe. But I was about to say before my imagination got the better of me. What I do like is the fact that there are shows and the Brighton Festival is continuing to reach outside of the Dome and the Theatre Royal, etc. So, you know, there's obviously there's the weekend stuff coming up as well, Without Walls, isn't there?
And yes, and we've got your place coming on the programme tomorrow, yeah, to talk about what's coming up there. And lovely Michael Rosen, who was the guest artistic director in the festival a few years back, children's poet, a very, very fearsome and outspoken advocate of literacy for children and children's education. He's at Brighton Hove High School on Thursday at 8. And again, just to remind you, if you look at something in the programme and think it's sold out, there are very often standby tickets. There are very often returns. So check in the Brighton Festival website, brightonfestival.org, and also check on their Twitter, which is BrightFest. I think we've reached the end of the programme, haven't we?
Well, apparently we have. Yep. So you've been listening to the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and myself, Rebecca Sandals, here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, DAB and online. We're live Monday to Friday, 5 to 6pm during the festival, repeated 10pm and 9am the next day.
Thank you very much to today's guests, Margaret McAuliffe, Robbie Thompson, Ian Lynch, Lorraine Bowen, Tim Martin and reporters Mark Johnson and Ant Martin. Going to play you out with another track from The Great Escape. She's going to be playing Thursday, two gigs actually she's got, Thursday 9:30 at Sally's Benny, Friday 6pm at the Beach Club in The Great Escape. This is Brighton's Grace Carter and Saving Grace from Melita and Rebecca. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.